the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
Listen, here's how you know your country doesn't have a
Apple
lot.
Apple iPad was released this past Saturday, and we had several people there.
I think he needs to stick to three-point shooting in basketball. You know, we
saw recent TV interviews that everything was in the police report, but the police report didn't contain what was it about the injuries.
Get your sticky paws off me, you damn dirty ape.
You are so hot.
World famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and through the looking glass we take you the Alice in Wonderland journey through talk radio each and every night. The world famous Phil Hendry show. Tiger Woods returns to golf. Only one in five teens thinks oral sex is sex. Only one in seven adults thinks oral sex is... I'm kidding. Only one in five teens, though, thinks that oral sex is sex. Adam Carolla pisses off an entire country. 877-876-PHIL. Our affiliate spotlight tonight is on three stations, now carrying the Phil Hendry show, brand new in Buffalo, WWKB. And we're very, very happy to be on the air in upstate New York. Another ad in upstate New York. In Reno, KBZZ, 1270 AM. In Grand Forks, North Dakota, KNOX, 1310 AM. Awesome, awesome start to the week, being on in Buffalo and Grand Forks and Reno, especially back on in Reno at KBZZ. Terrific. 877-876-PHIL. Coming up a little bit later on in the program, we're going to be talking about Tiger Woods and Justin McElroy, I think, is going to be joining. Who's going to be with us? I forget who our guest is on the Justin McElroy, or rather on the Tiger Woods material, because Tiger Woods... As you know, he's going to be back. Larry Grover, is that it?
Yeah, the guy from Conservative.
Oh, Conservatives of Kern County, because he's back. Tiger Woods is back, obviously, in the professional tour. He's back in Augusta, and we're going to talk about that coming up. 877-876-PHIL is the number on a world-famous Phil Hendry show. We're going to start off, though, with Larry Grover. And Mr. Grover is an educator from Glendale, California. The story here is out of Portland, Maine, and first thing I want to say to you, Vernon, is congratulations on being nominated for a Teacher of the Year Award.
Thank you very much, Phil. Thank you.
When do you find out about those?
I just found out this week. There's a number of categories and a number of finalists, but we're just very grateful to be in the category, and we're very thankful.
And this is for your work as a civics and history teacher, right?
That is correct. Working in government, we teach the kids U.S. history, government, and we teach California history to our freshmen and to our sophomores.
Well, congratulations to you. We need great teachers.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Let's talk about this story from Portland, Maine. I know this was a part of a lesson that you had for the kids last week, and I want to get your feelings on this. Now, this is in Maine, about two dozen women marching topless from Longfellow Square to Tommy's Park in Portland, Maine. No tops on, in an effort to erase what they see as a double standard on male and female nudity?
That is correct, yes.
And the point of the march was that a topless woman out in public shouldn't attract any more attention than a man who walks around without a shirt, right?
Well, that was the intention of these women, as far as I knew. So that was a civics lesson that we brought into the classroom, and essentially pointed out the discriminatory nature of that, and how this is a movement that advocates that women should be able to go about in public without a top on, and I'm sure it's well-meaning, but it does discriminate against women. And so
this is the kind of lesson that that got you nominated for a Teacher of the Year award, I would imagine.
I don't know, Phil. I try to bring contemporary issues into the classroom, and I think that's why people, especially my students and their parents, have shown their appreciation to me over the years. It's a very difficult job, but it's a very rewarding job, and for anybody who... is interested in teaching, I would highly recommend it. It's a profession I've always personally been very, very gratified by my career.
Let me ask you about this topic. This is an interesting topic. You brought this into your government class, huh?
That is correct.
So basically these are women who are marching without tops on.
Yes, sir.
And now the students, how old are the students that you're teaching this to?
These are my seniors.
All right, so these are 17, 18-year-olds?
That is correct. And so they're, and it's really about, as I said, I think it's about civil liberties, discrimination. I think this is about a movement, a women's movement that claims to be for women's rights. But in this instance, I think I pointed out to my students how this is a movement that actually discriminates against women. And that's what we found to be interesting. And my students, I think, found that to be the case as well. And I think the reason why maybe we get interest in our class and people are interested in me as an educator is I can take something like this and say, this may be something that you feel is about women's rights, but in point of fact, it is not about women's rights, and in point of fact, it discriminates against women. And I'm not, trying to toot my own horn or anything, but I'm very proud of the fact that I took a topic that seemed to be about women's rights. It was about the women's, rights movement, and I showed to my students how not only is it not about women's rights, it discriminates against women.
So the point being that those women who were walking around topless were discriminating against women.
That is true.
Tell me how you did that.
Very simply this. My wife and perhaps other women out there are not going to find it as easy as some women to walk around without a top on. Some women can walk around without a top on. And perhaps it is just like a man taking his shirt off. I don't mean that to be disrespectful, but the fact is some women are not all that remarkably, shall we say, built so as to draw too much attention. On the other hand, if you are like, for instance, my wife or other women who may be listening, and a lot of men may know them, you're going to attract a lot of attention by virtue of the fact that you're perhaps much bigger than other women. So that discriminates. That discriminates against my wife and other women.
So the women that are walking around without their tops on are small-chested?
I'm saying that, yes, they would have to be small-chested so as not to attract attention. The women don't want to attract attention. They want to be able to walk around without tops on and attract as little attention as a man would. Well, that's all well and good, unless you are, for instance, like some women. I bring up my own wife and others who are built much bigger. They're going to attract attention. So they're discriminated against. And the women that were out there, I don't know, but I'm willing to bet that the women that were out there in Portland, Maine, were small-chested women. And as such, they're making the point, we don't want to have to attract attention. Well, you won't attract attention if you keep the women who've got the big, the big chests out of there. And that was the point that I made.
It's a very interesting point. And so, how did the students feel about that? I guess they're
a lot of them agreed with me. One of the things that we do feel, and probably the reason why I got. One of the reasons why I think our class and my work as a teacher gets attention from people is that I'll use everyday examples in the classroom. We had two young ladies in the classroom, Chloe and Deanna. And I would say, now, if you look at Chloe, and I'm not trying to turn her into a sex object or anything, and the kids are, they're laughing. And I said, but look at Chloe. She'd probably go out and take her top off, and no one's going to notice because she's a more... regular size or however you want to put it. And I said, now you look at Deanna, who is another girl in the class. I said, look at her. She can't because she's going to attract attention. These are two examples in our classroom of young women who, even though one of them may be, they both might be into women's rights. And maybe both of them want to take their tops off the way men do. But only Chloe's going to be able to do it and not really attract a lot of attention.
All right. Now, you're bringing up two. Are these two kids that are actually in your class?
Yeah, these are two of my seniors.
Oh, and so they're in the classroom, and you're pointing to them as you're illustrating this for the students?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. We're talking here with, and I want to pursue that a little bit with you. We're talking here with Vernon Dozier. Mr. Dozier is a high school teacher as well as an athletic director at Belmar Academy. He has been nominated for a Teacher of the Year award. His work in civics and U.S. history and California history, this being a California school. But you're talking about using an example in your government class, U.S. government.
That is correct, yeah.
All right, this is an example in your U.S. government class where you talk about individual rights, these women that were marching in Portland to have the right to not wear a top in public, you said was discriminating against women with large chests. Because I'm assuming a woman with a large chest can't walk around with her top off without attracting a lot of attention.
That is correct, right. So that was the point I made, to emphasize that. We brought up the example of these two young ladies in my class.
All right, so you have one student who you are pointing out to the rest of the class is sort of small or flat-chested?
No, I'm not saying she's flat-chested. I'm saying that she is probably a regular size like the rest of them. I mean, just looking at her, you can see, and then the other student we had, Deanna, who had a bigger, large chest. And so I would say to the students, now look at her. You know she's, if you want to say, a lot of guys are going to get an eye full of that.
And the students react how?
Students are fine. The students, I mean, a lot of the parents are going to be resistant to some of my methods because they think, I'm very revolutionary, and I do use a lot of this kind of in-class example. And there's an awful lot of people who are sort of stuck in the past.
Because I was going to say, pointing out two female students in your classroom like that, some people might say verges on a sort of a sexual harassment.
No, not at all. Not at all.
And because it's a...
It's a history lesson. It's a government lesson, Phil. It's got nothing to do with sexually harassing anybody. I'm just simply saying, if you look at one girl, she's a high school senior, and she has a big chest. If she walks around with her top off, she's going to get a lot of attention, and that means that you're not going to get any law passed that says women should be allowed to go topless in public. If you look at the other girl who's got a smaller chest, she might be able to go topless, and you might have a shot getting the law passed because she's, we used to say, and I don't mean any disrespect, we used to say like BBs on a billiard table or something like this.
And well, that you didn't use that term in the class, did you?
Use what term?
BBs on a billiard table?
No. Not in the way that you're saying. I didn't use it. I said to Chloe, I said, obviously you're, the girls are flat or whatever you want to call it, but...
So that's what I'm saying.
Well, again, Mr. Henry, you're not a teacher. You're a parent. You're thinking like a parent. If you think like a parent, you're never going to have an understanding of how I do my job. You got to start thinking like a teacher. If you think like a parent, you're always going to be holding me back. But if you think like a teacher, people like me, we've got a shot. We've got a chance of educating you and other parents as to what we're doing.
All right. Vernon Dozier with us. Well, I got to congratulate him, though, the nomination for Teacher of the Year. Vernon Dozier on the line with us from Belmar Academy. He's been nominated for a Teacher of the Year honor as he talks about a story in Maine, women who want to go topless. He says that discriminates against women, larger-chested women. They won't be able to do that without attracting a lot of attention. 877-876-PHIL, how do you feel about that? And how do you feel about him using those two young ladies in his classroom as examples? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Be right back.
I didn't know I was taking a phone call.
Just a couple, all right?
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, and welcome back to the world famous Phil Hendry Show on this Monday night. We are talking with and honoring Vernon Dozier, a high school teacher at Belmar Academy, has been nominated for Teacher of the Year Award. And there's a lot of them that at this time of year, the nominations begin. And in states across the country, teachers are being nominated. Do you know, Vernon, how this nomination process takes place?
Uh, you are nominated by your students. You're nominated also as well by other teachers as well as parents. And in my case, I think we just had a lot of students that enjoy the class. I know that I've been at odds with some parents because of my teaching plan.
All right, but let's talk about that. Here is a civics lesson that you are providing for the students in which you're saying this protest in Portland, Maine, showing these women going topless, is a discriminatory protest by these topless women because they're flat-chested women, basically.
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying that any woman who is large-chested is not going to be able to walk around without a top on. So these other women who do not have the same endowment, let's say, they are discriminating against large-chested women by saying we'd like to have the right to go topless.
All right. In illustrating this in the class, you pointed out two female students, one with a small chest.
Well, in the lesson plan that was submitted for the Teacher of the Year Award, I used a doodle. There was some doodling that I had done that some of the parents got upset with. It was basically a stick figure with big, boobs on it. And I said, here is an example, of what it's going to look like.
All right. Of
what I was trying to say. These parents, again, you have to think like a teacher, not like a parent. You have to think like me and not like you. That's what I tell parents. And when you do that, you'll understand.
Did any of them complain about you pointing out to the students, well, here's Deanna, she's got big breasts, and here's Chloe, she has small breasts?
Not the students didn't complain because I used student language. I used colloquial kid language. I said, look, there's Chloe's flat and Deanna's stacked. And when you do that, the kids understand, and they know exactly what you're talking about. As a result, they understood the lesson and realized that a woman with a big, like I said, like my wife, is not going to benefit near as much as other women. Now, these parents are going to call up, and they're going to be upset, but you have to understand something. I'm there to teach kids. I'm not there to teach parents. I say to parents, God bless you, and God bless you for having such wonderful children, but would you get out of my way and let me teach?
Well, 877-876-PHIL. I bet you there's some parents out there that love your approach and others that probably can't stand it, Vernon. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call. We have Chris. Go ahead, Chris. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Vernon Dozier.
How are you? I just wanted to call and say I can't believe this guy's won Teacher of the Year.
I haven't won yet, but I've been nominated.
I wonder who's nominating you, because I'll tell you, I...
Well, as I said, they are the students and the teachers and the parents. It's a combined effort.
Really? Well, like,
yes,
I
sir.
Told the guy...
Did you say you're a parent?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, then why wouldn't you know this?
Why wouldn't I know what?
What you just asked me.
All I'm saying to you is
See what I mean, Phil? This is why I'm a good teacher, because I get right to the point. This guy... He calls himself a parent, but he doesn't know how Teacher of the Year is nominated. Why wouldn't you know that, sir?
All right, well, let's not be rude, okay?
Well, I'm not trying to be rude, but if he calls himself a parent, he doesn't know how Teachers of the Year are nominated.
Well, maybe he I don't know. You there, sir? Or are you just stunned? Maybe he's stunned. 877-876-PHIL. He probably went away because he wasn't really a parent, do you think?
I think he's a phony.
Here is Don. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, this guy sounds like a typical lunatic liberal. I mean, I have to educate you. I have a freshman in high school, and I'll tell you, pal, you have a point to her about her breasts, I come down and punch you right in the nose. You are Teacher of the Year. You are crazy Teacher of the Year. Are you kidding me? You singled out two young ladies. Did you actually use that term, babies on a
Why don't you calm down?
No, I'm not going to calm down, because this teacher's like,
ridiculous. You sound ridiculous.
I'm a history teacher, okay?
Your voice is very high. Your voice is very high pitched. It's very high pitched.
Two young ladies and say things like that to young girls.
Well, I'm sorry you're jealous.
That is unbelievable.
I'm sorry you're jealous.
They're young ladies, and they should be treated as such. And gentlemen, young gentlemen should be treated the same way. You are out of your mind. I would never in a million years point to a physical attribute of a young lady.
I don't care what you would do. That's the difference between you and me.
You are a cold,
that's the difference between you and me.
You think that's
the difference between you and me.
Two women, two young ladies, and you're
trying to say... They're not women. They're not women. They're girls.
You have small breasts. That you think that's okay. You really think that people don't have any children.
more excited you get, the higher pitched your voice is, sir. And then it becomes.
You realize how
it sounds ridiculous.
You don't want
right.
to talk about the issues. You want to talk about
well,
the issues.
I'd love
voice.
To talk about
the
it, sir.
Voice.
I'd love
I
to talk about it, but you won't allow me
manner.
To talk about it.
Young ladies, you are crazy.
Why don't you give it up? Give it up.
87. All right, thanks a lot. 877-876 Phil. What do you
Phil
mean, phony?
Phony call.
Well, we'll be back with more from Vernon Dozier in a moment.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And we're talking here with Vernon Dozier about, well, two things, really. The Teacher of the Year award that he's been nominated for, and teaching, and especially teaching a topic that it's bound to be explosive, Vernon. You understand that.
Well, Phil, I know that when you're talking about anything having to do with nudity.
I realize that it's right out of the news.
It's a news story that has to do with women going topless. But it's a perfect lesson on civil liberties, and that was my interest, to talk about civil liberties, to talk about women and women's rights. And here's a women's rights movement that is really about discriminating against women.
All right, let's talk about discriminating against women. And I understand everything you're saying, and I think that in many ways it's a brilliant lesson. But when you point to another student, like that last man.
Well, that man was panicked. I doubt seriously that man was a teacher.
Why do you say that?
Well, he was, he didn't sound like he was in control of his emotions. I think you have to be in control of your emotions when you're a teacher. And I made a joke. In fact, I was giving an interview to a local paper. I said, especially when you're sitting in a classroom, you're talking about large breasts and everything else. You're sitting in a classroom, you got a girl, you know, who, and she, you know, built like that, you know, built. Bill like that.
But see, that's the exact kind of response that people are going to get upset with.
No, I understand that. I understand that. But I was illustrating. I said, look, if you are built like Chloe and you want to go topless, that's fine. But if you're built like Deanna and you want to go topless, then people are going to stare at you. And therefore, women saying they want to go topless, it the flat-chested women, if you will, discriminate against the women that have the big, you know, big chests.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number here. Let's go to a phone call in Indianapolis. It's Lynn listening to us on WXNT. Lynn, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier.
Well, I just think this guy is out there in la-la land. I'm a female teacher and a parent, and just calling out students like that is just disrespectful and uncalled for. Why don't we have some male students stand up and check out their size of package and see how they like it? I mean, I don't care whether it's
well,
for an illustration
not,
or not.
That doesn't have it doesn't have anything to do with the topic. The topic was women going topless in Portland, Maine, because they felt like they had the legal right to do that. And I said, maybe they do, but those are women who obviously haven't taken into consideration how a woman with a large chest would feel. And I brought up my wife as an example.
Well,
I don't know about you, and I'm not asking you, but I'm sure as a woman you can understand that a woman with a larger chest is going to be a lot more self-conscious. And the women who have the smaller chests think that this is a civil rights issue. I said to my students, I think this is discrimination.
Well, as practiced by woman against woman?
As practiced by woman against woman, yeah.
But what Lynn is saying is pointing out two students.
Look, one of the things that I do as a teacher, I try to use in-class example. I said, look at the end.
There's a way to do an in-class example without directly pointing out the students that are right there. You obviously, are you a parent?
No, I'm not.
Well, there you go.
I've got a very young wife. People ask me, my parent, I got a very young wife. You
that
know.
Doesn't really.
Well,
that's not the point.
Yeah, that isn't everything.
You're telling parents, you know, you're telling
right.
parents, oh, well, you have to understand how I teach. I'm trying to teach this. Well, that's bull.
That's true. Well, no, ma'am, it
I
isn't.
Mean, and
you
I'm
think,
a
you say you're a teacher, right? If more of us got together and said to parents, look, either you're with me or against me. Now, if you're against me, get out of my way. If you're with me, get out of my way.
Now, I agree with you on that, but this is a point where you are singling out individual students.
Right. Well, I said to her, Deanna, I'm sorry, but you got a big bear. I didn't say big bear, but I said...
Well, what did you say to her?
I said, Deanna, excuse me, but you got, you know, you're big. You're big.
Well, you know
see,
what?
Yeah, that's going to embarrass...
I'm going to come into you, and I'm going to just basically rip you a new one.
Well, no, wait a minute.
Because
you're a teacher.
You are disrespecting my daughter.
Didn't you say you're a teacher?
Yes, I am.
Well, now, what side are you on? I mean, you're playing it kind of cozy.
I'm going to educate my students in a way that is not going to be disrespectful to them. I am not going to say, hey, Kim, you got a big rack. And hey, Julie, you're flat as a pancake. Now, that right there
Well, you said BBs on a billiard table, didn't you?
Yes, he did. You basically gave an example like that.
What was the doodling? You said you doodled?
I had two stick figures with the big, you know, boobs. And they didn't like the lesson plan, that's all.
Who?
The administration.
Well, now, when did the administration get involved?
Ma'am, Lynn, I've been nominated for Teacher of the Year. Have you?
Well, you know what?
I wouldn't be so excited about
it being nominated for this topic.
No, you haven't. You haven't been. Well, yeah, okay. Good luck, whatever you do.
All right, Lynn, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL. And Vernon Dozier joining us. Look, I'm not disrespecting the fact that you got nominated for Teacher of the Year. I think it's outstanding.
Well, you think it's outstanding, but on the other hand, you're like a lot of parents. Let me say this, Phil. I appreciate it. My message to parents, as I said last hour, is simply this. If you could think more of what it's like to stand in front of students every day, trying to get through to them. Students are young, and my students are young and they're smart. But in many, you know, on average, it's like standing in front of cave people. They're young and they're undeveloped. They have potential, but it's as if you're standing in front of Neanderthals cave creatures or creatures that live in a cave. And so you're standing in front of them, and you literally find yourself on bad days speaking to them as if you would a caveman, going, this is a computer. Not that they don't know what it is.
Well, are you saying that they're so stupid that they don't get the idea of...
When I brought up this topic and I said, small-chested women are marching in Portland, Maine.
See, first of all, you don't know if they're small-chested women, though.
No, you don't. But I'm going to assume any woman that argues for the freedom to take her top off the same way a man does has got to be, flat as a pancake, just like that lady said, you know.
Okay, so you're just assuming that that's the case and you don't really know?
I don't know any woman who's built like my wife who's going to want to just walk around with a top off. You know, first of all, that's... speaking as a man, that belongs to me.
All right, well, we're getting way afield of what we originally were talking about here. But the fact is that when you use a student like these two kids, that's what they were upset. That's what she's upset about. That's what a lot of people are upset about. Pointing out two students, one of them, you know, you're claiming has a big chest, the other doesn't.
Well, I don't know what else I'm going to do. Do you want me to get two teachers in there?
Yeah, well, it probably would be better if you found a way to talk about this without getting so personal that you're pointing it out to two students.
I wanted to bring my wife in. I want to say, now take a look at this. This is something that...
All right, I understand, but...
I had to use a student.
No, you didn't have to use a student. And I know that you've been nominated...
Yes, Teacher of the Year.
Yeah, you've been nominated for Teacher of the Year, but using students that way, as you heard these parents tonight calling in, is going to piss some people off.
Well, Phil, I get pissed off, too. I get pissed off when I have parents calling me and saying, well, I don't like you doing this, I don't like you doing that, I don't like you doing something else, and I want to say to them, well, now, look what the cat, you know, how about that? You calling me and telling me my job. Why don't I call you at your job? But it doesn't matter.
Well, look at Vernon. Congratulations.
Yeah, sure.
I mean it. I mean, congratulations on being nominated, and we hope that you win. And I hope that all of this settles down. And I hope that perhaps some of these areas where you may need a little bit of, I don't know. I don't mean to tell you, you know, tell you your business.
Well, that's what you're doing, though.
Well, I don't. I'm just hoping that in some of these areas where there's a little less sensitivity, maybe.
I think I'm completely sensitive, Phil. I don't see what anybody.
You have no idea what we're talking about.
I know what you're talking about, but I don't have time for that. I just don't have time for it. Right now, I'm running an auto body shop. It's, I don't know what time, 9:45 at night, and I still got my students here. And they're, what they're doing is they're sanding a fender down. And they have missed the spot I don't know how many times. Well, they're going to stay here all night if they have to. You can hear them working. You hear that?
Yes, I do.
They're not leaving here. They're not leaving here until they get it right. They're not putting primer on that until they get it right. They'll be here all night.
Even if the parents want them home?
Even if the parents want them home, they're going to be here all night.
All right, Vernon, thank you. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Larry Grover coming back next hour, or actually later on in the program, I should say, on Tiger Woods. We'll be back.
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Whoa. 877-876-PHIL. Do we have our switch on?
Yeah, it's on.
Don't want to have that switch off now, do we? All right. And welcome back to our program. Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County is going to join us tonight to talk about Tiger Woods. We will get all into that. We will get all up in that, man. Tiger's back, and he's going to be at the thing, and whatever. So often, when you have a topic like a professional athlete who's in trouble because of his sex life, right, you have a topic that now is not just about sports, it's about the guy. And so you have a lot of non-sports fans weighing in. And I don't know. I can only echo what I've heard many people say. The day and age of athletes being role models, the day and age of, and I'll give you one, that I believe an example that I think is, needs to be said a little bit more. I got into a discussion once with a guy on my show, and he was black. He was a caller. He was a black listener of mine. I had said, I'm tired of black athletes being used as role models for black kids. I'm tired of them being held up in the black community as examples of what you should be. Basketball player, baseball player, whatever. Where are the scientists, lawyers, etc.? So one of my listeners, who's African-American, calls me and says, now that's just about the most racist thing I've ever heard. I said, what do you mean, sir? I grew up in the black community. I'm black. And I never, ever had anybody tell me, be a basketball player. I never had those as role models, and they were never put in my face as role models. And that's typically a racist thing for a white man to say. And I said to him, well, then, sir, how do you explain the high number of black athletes in the professional ranks vis-a-vis basketball, football, etc.? How do you explain that? And this man suddenly said what you would never in a million years imagine a black listener to say. And he caught himself because he couldn't believe it was coming out of his mouth. Well, we happen to be better at the... Oh, you got the big ass and the big thighs, and you throw the spear further. Is that it? No, I didn't say that. Well, that's about what you said. Why are there so many black people in professional sports? Because that was and remains for many the best avenue toward economic fulfillment, prosperity. It is a... For a great many people who don't have the wherewithal, they don't have the resources, they can't get to college, they can't get to the front door of some company, this was the fast track to economic empowerment. sports. Ah, now there's a place where they love to see me. They love to see me in a boxing ring. They love to see me on a basketball floor. So let's go out and make all that money doing that. So I would say again what I said on that show, and if that guy's listening, he can call up again. I say, I'm sick and tired of seeing it, man. I'm sick and tired of seeing athletes, and I understand that in the black community, maybe that was a viable, probably the only area that you could point to someone and say, well, look at the success that that man has had there. He's a basketball player, but look at what he's done. Look at the money that he's made. Look at how he can, look at the freedom he's bought for himself. Look at the ways that he can influence his community. So try that. Okay, fine. Now, you're not going to get a whole bunch of simple-minded bastards to understand that the reason why is because of discrimination traditionally. This just, this isn't going to happen, but that's what it is, and that's what I know. Not what I believe, that's what I know. And that dude that called me that night saying to me, what a racist, man, saying that I got only role models I ever had were black people, and that, I said, well, how come there's so many black guys in basketball? Well, that's because we just dribble the ball better. Oh, okay, well, thank you very much. I didn't want to say that. That's what kind of what I thought, too. But, you know, coming out of your mouth, it has a little more credibility. Well, thank you. You're welcome. So that stuff is strictly yesterday, that athletes as role models. The only people that say that now are people that are not sports fans. The only people that say that now, the only people that say that athletes are role models are people who can't possibly be sports fans, or if they are, they didn't get out of the third grade. There are no role models. There are no role models in public life that I can think of. They may be in your private life, but not in your public life. Who? Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson? I mean, go ahead and emulate every last one of the great men or women that you think you'd like to emulate, and you're going to find that in their private lives especially, they weren't all that fantastic. Martin Luther King, John Kennedy, Thomas Jefferson, I mean, we go through the same names and we go through the same stories over and over and over again. We know people by their work, not necessarily by the things they did when they got home from work. We know them by their work, not their leisure time. Some people that I admire or thought that I admired, I don't admire anymore. I still like their work, but I don't think of them as great people per se 100%. It depends on what they did. Like, for instance, Lincoln or Kennedy or Martin Luther King, great men, and I will still call them great men, even though they were weak as individuals, right? A writer like Jack Kerouac, whose writings I liked, but who as a man, I wouldn't give you 5 cents for the guy, I still think he's a pretty poor example of a human being. Why? Because all he did was write books, and I don't put that high, and he wrote fiction on top of that, and I don't put that high on the list of human achievement. I just don't. World leaders, scientists, doctors, I don't know, people that gave to the community, people that actually made a visible impact on the lives of those around them, those are great people. Some slob that wrote fiction, some guy that wrote books that people read on beaches and in airplanes, I don't particularly raise that guy up as anything special. Good for you. You must be very wealthy, and congratulations on your great success. But as a human being, and even as an artist, you know, I don't give you much, man. Like, for instance, this, what I do here, this is nothing. This is nothing. And I got a bigger piece of news for you. Neither is anything else that anybody else does on the radio. I don't give a damn who you want to name. It's nothing. This is, as Howard Beale said, boredom killing. And that's about as good as it gets, man. But we ain't doing anything special here other than trying to keep you from blowing your brains out maybe for another 5 minutes. Trying to keep your drive home, wherever you are going to, try to keep that as pleasant as we can. Provide a little bit of company there in the cab of the truck or in the car as you motor along the highway of life. And that's it, okay? And we try to keep you as interested in things outside of what's happening inside your own head as best we can. But this is not a great achievement. This has nothing to do with greatness. This is radio. Now, here's something great. Sandra Bullock has decided to divorce Jesse James.
That's fantastic.
Exactly. See, Sandra Bullock realized that she's not going to cure her bad boy. She's not going to make a father and a husband out of him. She's not going to give him the love that he never had. She's not going to soften him up and make him put up some slippers on his feet and put a pipe in his mouth. No, he's the guy that wears tattoos and rides motorcycles and likes to screw tattoo models because that's who he is. And Sandra Bullock has learned this lesson, as painful as it is, and as difficult and as public as it's been. She's learned this lesson, and she will now move on. She won't take his phone call. She's divorcing his stupid white trash ass. That's the end of that. See you later, Jesse James, who I never freaking heard of you, man, before she hooked up with you. Well, I think maybe I heard about you a couple of times. It might have been on a Discovery Channel promo. And as far as your family goes, like you being related to Jesse James, good riddance to bad rubbish. All right, 877-876-PHIL. There was an earthquake in Mexico. Supposedly it was felt in Southern California. I didn't feel a thing, but that's not necessarily because it wasn't a big earthquake. We'll be back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.